last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Permission has been granted for Dublin's long-awaited Metrolink project. On Comisión Pleanála published the railway order this morning, which gives the Metrolink project the green light. The Metrolink plan consists of a new almost 19-kilometre railway line, most of which will be underground from Charlemont near Dublin city centre, passing through Dublin Airport and onto the Swords Estuary in the north of the county of Dublin. It's expected that 175,000 people and 250,000 jobs will be within walking distance of a metro stop when it is finally completed. It will also connect to 127 schools, 5 hospitals and 3 universities. To discuss what happens next for the Metrolink, I'm joined by Brian Caulfield, who's a professor in transportation at the School of Engineering at Trinity College in Dublin, and economist Colin McCarthy as well. Brian, if I can start with you, this is finally seems to be moving in a direction where it's actually going to happen. Most people seem to think of this as a link between the city centre and the airport, but as I've just outlined there, there's a lot more to it than just the airport itself.
Yeah, I think if you think it's just an airport line, I think you miss the whole purpose of the Metrolink. Only 18% of the passengers will board and alight at Dublin Airport. It's a very important stop, but it's not the most important thing that happens on the Metrolink line. As you said there, it connects so much job opportunities, so much housing, and housing as well. There's an awful lot of space for it north of the airport to have more densely populated housing there, and having a metro right next to it. It will be fantastic.
There's been many key dates, Brian, on this. This goes back to 2000 and the turn of the millennium. We then effectively had the economic crash, which meant that things were put on ice. And then we had the planning permission that happened in late 2010, and it has moved along from 2015. And now we've got to this point after effectively 3 years of it going through the various different planning stages that now it can advance. But how long is it likely to take for the Metrolink to actually be completed, and for people to be getting on at Charlemont and potentially going to Swords?
There's a very long checkered history of the project. What happened today is we have planning permission, as you said before, that happened before. What will happen next is, and it's already happening, TII are going out to industry to get consortia to bid for this project. When the bid happens and we have the tenders in, then TII and the Department of Transport can see, right, this is how much it's going to cost. A cost-benefit analysis was done on this a number of years ago, approved by the Department of Public Expenditure, and it started to proceed. So this cost-benefit analysis will be done again. It will look to see that everything stacks up, all the numbers make sense. Then this recommendation will go from the Minister for Transport to the Cabinet. The Cabinet will sign off. That whole process could take about 2 years. Then construction is likely to take about 6 years, and then there's talk of it actually opening up in stages, that we could have stages earlier that could happen, but that'll all come out in the wash when we get to construction. So I wouldn't expect to be going to Charlemont before, you know, maybe 9-10 years is probably realistic before passengers can start to go from Charlemont to the airport.
Colm, do you think this represents good value as an economist then, this project? I know we have to wait until the final estimates come in, and with the way things go in Ireland, oftentimes it's much higher than the final estimate. But do you think this is good value for money?
I don't really. And I think Dr. Caulfield and me are going to disagree a little bit on this. Dublin is now one of the lowest density cities of its size in this part of the world. And underground railways are the most expensive form of public transport that you can think of. So if you were going to design a city in which bus transport was going to be the most economical option for the most people, you would design Dublin the way we've built it over the last 50 years. I'm very pessimistic about the likelihood that the Metrolink as planned will generate enough traffic to make any difference to congestion citywide. And you have to think citywide in these things. The existing situation is that there is an underground public transport connection between the centre of Dublin and the airport. It's called the Port Tunnel. And it's full of buses. The public transport share at Dublin Airport has actually been quite high in recent years. It's all buses, but there's buses to Dublin Airport, some of them quite frequent. from virtually every town in Ireland.
Brian,
so I don't buy this idea that suddenly, if this thing is built, then people in Rathfarnham will be able to hop on a, there'll be an underground railway stop outside the front door, and you can buzz off to the airport, or indeed to Swords.
Yeah, let me bring Brian back in on that. So, Brian, is it better to spend money on the bus corridor, improving buses, or does it make sense to go underground and build for this 19-kilometre stretch?
Well, first of all, there won't be metro stops in Rathfarnham yet unless they're starting to build a new line. In terms of buses, so the metro will be able to accommodate 40 trains each direction every hour. To accommodate that with buses, you're talking about 450 buses. That will just end up being a huge bus congestion out to the airport, even if it uses the Port Tunnel. And if we use the Port Tunnel, which I don't think is full of buses, I think it's full of freight vehicles. And the reason we have a Port Tunnel is to make freight move efficiently around the city. Colm is right in that, you know, it is one part of the city, the Metro Link, but it links up with Dart, it links up with Lewis and all of these other things. And equally, prior to Lewis being built and even prior to Dart being built, there were an awful lot of voices out there that said they shouldn't be built, they wouldn't have the patronage. And what the first thing we regretted about Lewis when we built it is we didn't build it big enough and we had to increase the patronage straight away. So those voices in the past have been proven wrong.
Again, Colm, to let you come back on that, is there an argument to be made that actually the better way to do it would be to ensure that those connections continue to get better towards the city centre, and then a metro creates a part of the system as opposed to being the main thrust of it here?
Well, you really have to go back to the connected problems of congestion and public transport. Dublin Airport is one of the closest to the city centre of any sizable airport in Europe. And people are used to going to Paris or London and hopping on a train into town. Those airports are 30, 25, there's one that's 40 kilometres from the city centre. Dublin Airport is only 9 or 10 kilometres from the centre of the city. And that's the reason why buses are easily able to serve it. As for the Port Tunnel, it's not true that there is congestion in the Port Tunnel. There's actually quite a clever system of congestion charging in the Port Tunnel that keeps cars out of it in the busy direction. Of course, there's a lot of trucks in it, but that's because the trucks are not buzzing around the city streets. It's a very sensible thing to do, to tell the trucks that they can travel in the Port Tunnel for free and get them out on the M50 and off to where they're going, which is not typically in the Greater Dublin area anyway.
Colm, on your point about the other airports being further away, when I talk to people that come into Dublin, the thing that surprises them the most is that they go to other airports, like you land in Heathrow, and generally you can hop on 4 different rail lines that go to different parts of the city in London. And then similarly, I think in most major European cities, you can get onto the underground at the airport and go into the city itself. I appreciate that you're saying Dublin Airport's closer to the city than some of these places, but should that not be the minimum expectation for the many visitors we bring through the country?
Sorry, it's not about expectations. It's about what it costs. Mm. And is it worth the money? That's what cost-benefit studies are about. There was a cost-benefit study that Dr. Caulfield referred to, which was prepared for the project promoters. We keep doing this in Ireland, asking the project promoters to hire some guys to do a cost-benefit study. They do. There is a well-documented record all over the world of project promoters producing or commissioning cost-benefit studies which underestimate the costs and overestimate the potential traffic.
Let Brian come in on that then. Brian, is this a concern that this isn't independent, the previous cost-benefit, or is it actually likely to be a good indicator of what the final cost is going to be?
Well, the previous one that was published was, sponsored by TII, the project sponsor, but They followed the rules of the Department of Public Expenditure, the Department of Transport. It went to an international review. So I think to say it's biased is perhaps a little bit short-sighted. And then, as I said, a second cost-benefit analysis will be done when they have a final price that is put in. Yeah. And it's very rare that the Department for Public Expenditure do their own cost-benefit analysis. It tends to be projects that are submitted to them with a business case. And that has been the way for maybe 20 years.
Yeah, Colm, go on, come back in on that.
Yeah. Sorry, Brian. I've read the cost-benefit study that was prepared for the project promoters, and it's not the best cost-benefit study I've ever seen. And it remains to be seen now whether DPER, the Department of Public Expenditure, does a proper independent study when the full costs of this thing are known and takes a skeptical view of the traffic projections. There's a history all over the world of project promoters egging the pudding on these things. And this is the biggest single public investment project that was ever contemplated in this country.
All right, we'll see what the cost is going to be in a couple of years' time. Many thanks to Colm McCarthy, economist, for joining me, and also Brian Caulfield, who's a professor in transportation at the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.